Welcome to Pushy Pushy. It's a new week. We are still in 2024. And welcome, welcome. Hello. And guess what, guys? It's just me. It's Nia here, founder of Pushy Pushy, the podcast. We are a podcast aimed at actors, at parents, at fellow agents, fellow drama school teachers, leaders, workshop leaders, dance school owners. And we're here to kind of give you an insight and kind of like the backstage gossip and daily runnings of, you know, running an agency, running a performing arts school, and running, you know, all the things that come with that, be it classes and auditions and self-tapes and parents. So Pushy Pushy hopefully is a podcast that appeals to you if you're interested in the entertainment industry, and how we navigate that together to forge hopefully long careers and long healthy careers that are, you know, enjoyable, profitable, and you know, really give us a sense of fulfillment. Hello, I'm going to apologize now. It is just me all by myself, because Hannah is not here, Mark is not here, and Andrew is busy with the offices. And I think I was just saying, how is your January going? Mine is a whirlwind. Ours is a whirlwind as a business. Everyone is here, there, everywhere. So here are we get sent in with, you know, how can I improve my performance? What can I do to make my performance or my self-tape or the way that I deliver the script in an audition stand out, be memorable and be successful? So here are a little tips from Mark German that, you know, we advise, that we encourage, that we, you know, regularly teach within our classes. And I guess the key thing that you can't, you know, deter from is you have got to know your lines. You have got to respect the writer, the director, the production in terms of inviting you to an audition, inviting you to, you know, have an opportunity of getting this role. And give them the respect of putting some time in and learning your lines. Now, there are a number of ways to learn lines, be it, you know, repetitive, say one line, say it over, say it over, say it over again, and then get the next line. So you say the first line and then you get the next line. And again, you repeat, you know, the two lines over and over again. Then you add on a third line, a fourth line. Now, some actors would like to do that with a reader. So they're getting used to hearing that, you know, the other person's lines back, getting those other person's lines back. So you're getting used to the pattern. You can also, if you haven't got a reader with you yet, you know, you're in work, you're in school, you're at college, you're on the bus, you've been given the self-tape, and do you know what? You're going to get a head start. You're going to get those lines down. You might want to, I mean, I do this or have done this regularly, go to the toilet, get your recorder app, and you put in the other person's lines and you leave a gap of where you think your role, the part that you're going for, is going to be. And you kind of give maybe, I don't know, a couple of beats more just to kind of get those lines in, so that when you're learning those lines and doing that parrot fashion way of, I'm going to say that, you know, the role that I'm going for, then I play, you know, the line back. And then I say the second line. So I do the first line, their line, my second line. Then I do the first line, their line, my second line, their line, my third line, and so forth. Then when you've kind of got your script down, so you know, you might be having a bit part, it might be waitress or nurse or receptionist or policeman. But if you are going for a role and you've got, I don't know, 2 pages, 3 pages, a couple of scenes of script, you want to really get those lines down in that way. So much so that you can be having that recording on and you could be, you know, doing the washing up, in the shower, driving your car, you know, anything that you can do another task, but you're still able to deliver those lines correctly. Then, as a test, this is what I do. I then put that recording sped up. So the time that you've left yourself to say your lines, you also have to say your lines really quickly. And that, for me, tests me that I can, you know, I know the lines because I can say them really quickly. I know exactly what's going to come out, so much so that I don't even have to think about, is it that line or is that the next line that's coming up? You just want to kind of have that kind of flow of dialogue. Because then when it comes to the performance, there is no notion, there is no way of even worrying about the lines. And I think when you go in for an audition, it's nerve-wracking anyway. You know, you're meeting new people. You might be wearing something that isn't really you, but you've put on a blazer because you're going for a more corporate role. I don't wear blazers in real life, or, you know, it's that type of thing. So you might feel a bit, you know, out of sorts. The last thing I feel you want to be doing is worrying about lines, worrying about cues. You want to know that. So for me, line learning is the most important thing, you know, in terms of any performance. And putting in that homework, which does take time, which does take effort. And it's that notion of investing in, you know, in the audition. I think the line learning probably takes up more time than the self-tape. I remember Mark a couple of episodes ago, a bit like an in-person audition with a self-tape. You know, don't spend 3-4 hours setting up your lights, you know, getting the shot right. If you've learnt your lines, if you've put in your homework, you can probably deliver a self-tape in 3 or 4 goes. If you've done your homework, the line learning might take 4 hours. It might take 3 hours of prep in terms of, right, get the lines in, get the lines in. And personally, I would say, and again, this is personal preference, but as soon as you get that audition in and as soon as you hit Tagmin, confirm you're going, confirm you're attending, that is when the prep should start. I know everyone's busy. I know you've got lives, but that's kind of like putting it out to the universe, committing to the role, hopefully, committing to, do you know what? I'm going to give this a really good go and get that prep in. So if you have got, you know, the beauty of 3 days, 4 days, 5 days before a self-tape, or sometimes, you know, plays and musicals in particular are quite fair in, you know, they might even give you a week's notice. You know, there is nothing, again, this is personal opinion, for you not to do a good job in terms of knowing your material, if that makes sense. Mark goes on about this. There was a story, I've got to be very, very careful, of the actor and the client and the student that this is about. But there was a job opportunity that came into our agency, a massive role on a massive series that's currently, well, it has cast its second season. We're talking huge USA, you know, would propel any actor if they got a role in this to, you know, next level. And it was a role for an under 16, for a minor, for a teenager. And I think they had maybe 5 actors in for this role, and they all got sent the self tapes. And I think we've spoken about this. Agents kind of set their actors' deadlines, and then agents and casting directors have deadlines. Now, some agencies might say the casting directors said, you know, Tuesday morning, and that's the deadline they gave their actors. I know Mark, and I think maybe some other agents do this as a way of kind of filtering or making sure, and you know, that every tape is nailed. If the deadline is Tuesday morning, they might say to their actors, do you know what, get it into me by Monday morning, just so that they can get their tapes out to the casting directors, and also for the agents to check, you know, is that a blank screen? Are we sending, you know, has that tape saved, and is it downloadable, and is it playable? You know, because we don't want to waste any casting directors' time or production team's time. So let's give, you know, a deadline before the deadline. Anyway, with this massive project, 5 actors were sent the brief, sent the tape, sent the signs, you know, and the breakdown of the character. And say this was, I believe it was like a Wednesday or a Thursday morning or Wednesday evening. So they had to get that tape in by Monday morning, so to speak. Anyway, it gets to a Sunday. Hannah wasn't working, but it gets to a Sunday. And I believe Mark got a message to say, look, hi, I'm a parent of one of the actors who's been asked to tape, and there's no way that they're going to be able to do it in time. can they have an extension? Which, you know, we understand family circumstances, but it's not really, A, the time to be doing that on Sunday when you've had it since Wednesday. And it's not really the done thing, you know, extending. You know, like I said, everyone's family life circumstances are different. But, you know, you can say no to a tape. You can, you know, again, you're kind of cutting off that opportunity for yourself. But you can, you know, no one's going to hold you to, you know, ransom or anything because you've turned down a tape. However, they extended the deadline, as in, you know, you could try. However, by the time that actor got their tape in, I believe it was like the following Wednesday or Thursday. And in the meantime, they had, Mark had sent off, you know, their client's tapes, and they were already on recalls by the Wednesday morning. And I don't believe, you know, that actor had sent in their tape until Wednesday afternoon. So there was no real point of them doing it because the casting team, the production, they were already on recalls. They'd spotted, you know, talent, and they'd kind of seen, oh, they're right for the role. They're, and I think two or three of Mark's clients out of the five then got, you know, shortlisted to the next stage. So, you know, bless that actor, they totally missed out by not committing to the deadline, by not being honest in the circuit, you know, in the first place, by going, do you know what, they can't do it, you know, we're gonna have to give this one a miss kind of thing. And then it's a waste of A, the agent's time, B, the production's production company's time in going, do you know what, we'll give this person an opportunity, we'd like to see them. And also the actor who wanted the extension, you know, they wasted their time doing the tape in the end because they missed the deadline. So deadlines are really important, really, really important. And doing your groundwork, doing your homework and getting those lines down. Another little tip that we scream and shout about in our classes and offer to clients and actors is, as well as knowing your lines, is really knowing the character. And that doesn't have to be what's given. You know, you've got the role of schoolgirl or teenager or yob or youth gang member or whatever. But in terms of you creating your character's world, so knowing, you know, if they haven't got a name in the script, give yourself a name. You know, and this, you know, you can write this down and you can map it all out. But just like having a quick, like, we've all done, you know, basic acting classes previously, where it used to be called like hot seating or spot check-in, where you'd go through your character, like name, age, likes, dislikes, family, where do they live and where they've grown up. I like to things that are, I like to like test actors with things that have just happened to them. So like, what was the last meal you ate? What was the last drink? Because that's going to affect, you know, how you're feeling. If you haven't eaten for like 12 hours, your character's pretty hungry. That might affect the way that you, you know, deliver a line, be feeling in the moment. Has your character slept much the night before? Like, how are they feeling? Because again, that's going to, you know, give you how you're feeling, how to play the line, and also give that backstory. One thing that we really like when actors are making choices in scenes is to be bold. And that's not being stagey or like over dramatic in your delivery, but in your choices. So, you know, if you're going to play a line a certain way, commit to that. I personally think that there's nothing worse than a wishy-washy, apologetic, going round the houses performance. If you're bold, yes, you might be wrong in what the writer or the director had in their first mind, but at least your delivery is with commitment and with a bit of fire in your belly, or, you know, with a bit of because, you know, you've kind of made that commitment, you've made that boldness. We also like to encourage actors to feel like the character, and this can be in the smallest choice, smallest option, to you know, really dressing and kind of embodying and having that process of the character. I've worked with actors who like to do before an audition a bit of an hour as the character. So without going full on method, where they, you know, eat, sleep, live as a character, although there are lots of actors out there when working on long films or long plays who like to really get under the nitty gritty and do that. I know some actors who, you know, maybe an hour before, they will just be in that persona, whether it's where they have to perfect a particular accent. They, for the, you know, an hour before their audition, will just talk in that dialect and that tune and get that rhythm. Some actors might use costume or makeup or footwear to kind of embody that, to help them feel a part. I guess in everyday life, you know, we kind of, I know for me, like if I'm feeling a bit groggy, you know, a bright lipstick or, you know, a fresh blow dry or, you know, something, you know, nice underwear, whatever's going to make you feel brighter, that can help. So anything you can like maybe use, whether it's a hairstyle or a bit of costume. And again, you don't have to go full throttle with it, although some actors do. I think it's just a case of how it makes you feel and what it does to you as the actor portraying the character. One of the questions that we often get asked, a few people have written in about this, and if you have got a question, please, please email in hello@markjamian.co.uk and we will gladly answer, you know, by replying to you, or, you know, we could maybe air it on the podcast. But a lot of the time we get asked this: how often should I or should my son or daughter be taking class? You know, is it a case of can they, you know, come to, I don't know, a one-off session, and, you know, would that be enough? Now, our advice is acting, performing, it is a skill. And yes, there are opportunities and there have been successes where the talent is raw, or a production company are specifically looking for untrained, raw, authentic school children for you know, a nitty-gritty film, particularly if it's set in a certain area, or they're looking for a, you know, a certain dialect or a certain type of actor or performer. But because acting is a skill, you know, like playing the violin or, you know, being a chef, yes, you could be lucky and, you know, get that perfect soggy bottomless pie, you know, the first time you commit to a recipe. But it does take training. It does take, you know, improving those skills, learning, you know, little techniques here, doing it over and over again, doing it and watching it back and going, oh, what could I have done different that time? Oh, I liked that moment. Oh, but I really hated that moment. My eye line was poor in that one, but the delivery of that line. And it is about that, like, self-analysis and being comfortable to do that. So like any kind of performance skill, whether it's, you know, playing an instrument, dance, singing, we advise like doing it regularly, whether that is committing to a class, whether that's taking online sessions or going in person, but like having that kind of regular notion of having to turn up, having to commit to something, whether it's physically driving to, you know, your local drama group, or choosing, you know, drama as a GCSE, because that's like another way of committing to the arts. To, you know, coming online, signing up for something, maybe, I don't know, if some of the courses, you know, you feel like you're not quite ready to maybe do it in front of people, there's lots of resources online that you could maybe, you know, download or watch on YouTube. But again, I think maybe having that kind of consistency and being, you know, that commitment, do you know what, I'm going to look at that YouTube drama guide every Wednesday evening from 5 till 6:15, and, you know, that, and my reward is whatever. But like having that kind of discipline to do it, because it is about being consistent, like anything, that's how you grow and learn and improve and feel more confident at doing. But consistency is key. And if you're, you know, regularly working, regularly taping, that kind of is your class. That is you brushing up your line learning, your self-tape setup, your reading with your auntie because your mother's away this week and you know, thinking on your feet. But it might be nice for you to maybe, do you know what? Oh, I'm going to top up and do that masterclass. I'm going to do that. And we encourage actors to kind of explore all avenues. Yes, I mean, Mark's not here. I shouldn't really say this. He will kill me. But, you know, there are lots of pools of opportunities out there. And it is about sharing the love. That is how you learn, about finding, you know, the right coach, the right class, the right group of other actors for you to work with. That's really, really important. And it is by learning from other people. I mean, that's the joy of teaching and coaching and working with such passionate people is, you know, you're never too old to learn. And it's so exciting, you know, when even a 7-year-old comes in and you're like, wow, that was brilliant. Do that again. Or how did you do that? Or what made you think of that choice? And, you know, having their perspective on it, you know, that kind of freshness and that, you know, that total fearlessness, which, you know, sometimes as a grown-up you go, oh god, I wish I didn't care as much, I wish I didn't have that self-analysis or that kind of those demons talking to me. So, you know, always learn. Growth, consistency is key. So on the nay-nay side of January, picking up on the Blue Monday, picking on the negativity, the depressingness of January, little tips for anyone who's maybe thinking of joining a school or looking for an agent or working with like maybe a personal management company. There are some things, let's go to the positive first, Nia. There are lots of amazing companies out there, you know, you're listening to one of them. But like in all seriousness, there are loads of really good, reputable agencies who work really hard, who have years and years of experience and have staff who are, you know, trained and know the ins and outs of what they're doing, whether it's teaching, coaching, agenting. However, there are some companies to avoid. There are dodgy, unreputable, just people, you know, scammers, people who are out to fleece and take money and just, yeah, not have the notion and respect for you, your children, or you as an actor. So people to avoid, I'm going to name and shame. I'm not. But if you're looking at agencies, if you're looking at schools, my advice as someone who's maybe, you know, been in the business as a child and now, you know, doing it as an adult and running this kind of organization would be, you know, do your research, do your homework, whether that's scouring the internet, looking at their website, and I mean really dissecting their website, as in if it's a one-page website that looks like it could have been made, you know, in 30 minutes, the likelihood is it is a website, one page that has been made, you know, slapdash, you know, a company who's proud to kind of represent actors or proud to train or, you know, would have spent time doing that. So look, you know, look at their website, look at the experience they have, look at what courses, what classes, what clients they represent. Really, you know, have a good nosy around those websites and kind of do your homework, because that is really, really important. Look at maybe their social media pages. You know, again, newer agencies tend to maybe only have a couple of posts on their grid, which suggests kind of lack of experience. If their social media page, you know, how up to date is it? Because social media isn't everything, but again, most kind of agencies who are forward thinking, who are proud to kind of, you know, announce their work and their clients' current work, probably will post it on their socials. So, you know, if it's not been updated for a couple of months, years, the likelihood of it is like, you know, what is that team doing if they haven't updated their website or if they haven't updated their social media page? I think as a mum or as an actor would question that. also speak to other people, you know, speaking to other actors, to other mums, to, you know, whether it's posting a question on a forum, you know, ask around, see what reputation, because it's like anything, you know, recommendation is key. So that's another thing. I would really, really do the homework, particularly with agencies. No agency will ask you to pay upfront fees to be on their books. You know, that would be a big woo red alarm if anyone's asking you to pay them to be on their books. Agents get paid from the commission, from the work that the actors earn from the agency, you know, from the opportunity that they've provided. So, you know, we hear of horrible stories where model agencies or, you know, theatrical agency charge parents, actors to be on their books. That is a no-no. Yes, there are costs to pay. There are costs, but they're their investments in terms of photos. Every actor will need a photo. You don't have to use the photographer that the agent recommends. You don't have to, as long as your photos are clear and have good lighting and show a good indication of any actor, that, you know, that should be good enough. And obviously there's spotlight costs, but in terms of like paying up front to be on your books, absolute no-no. Avoid. Also, I think when looking for an agency, you know, if they don't answer their emails or answer the phone, or most agents, companies will have like a home phone number. That's also a good indication. If someone's running a business off their mobile and there's just one number to call, again, you know, that doesn't suggest that there's a team of people behind that company and behind that brand. Which again, you know, if they've got 40, 50, 140, 150 people on the books, how is that person, how's that business, you know, giving you and as an actor or as your child, you know, the respect, the time that, you know, they deserve and that you're committing to, you're giving your trust in that company. So I would question that too. I mean, like I said, do your homework, do your research. It's really important because, you know, we're not messing with lives here, but we are really like toying with careers. And that's it for another week of Pushy Pushy. I am wishing you all the best so that you avoid a Blue Monday week, that you have a great week ahead. The team will be back next episode, I'm sure, with lots of January gossip. The office is busy and booming, and the industry is starting to grow back again after Christmas. So we should have some exciting, buzzy news to share with you. If you've got a question, please give us an email on hello@markgerian.co.uk, where we'll be more than happy to answer your query and concern. And thank you so much for joining me, for making it this far. If you're hearing this, thank you. You've been much better company than my actual own workmates. Anyway, speak to you soon. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Keep pushing.